Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Glad you're with us around the Super Talk Network, wherever you're tuned in. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Oak Grove. Bob Kelly, Dima, whole crew back for the first time this week. That's always a good thing. Dickie's Barbecue sponsors the opening segment of our show every day, which is a great place to cater your next Southern Miss event, or a great place to take your family tonight for dinner, because the food is always good. Glenn Dyer going to join us a little later in the show. We're always very happy to have Athletics Director Jeremy McLean back on the Eagle Hour. Never says no to us. We're grateful for that. And Jeremy, welcome back. Thanks for coming on.
You bet, man. Appreciate you guys having me.
All right, lots to ask you about. I'm gonna ask you the first question. It does appear to me that your decision to bring Charles Huff to Southern Miss is 24-karat gold. You must be really excited about the remarkable job this man seems to be doing.
Well, we certainly are, you know, really excited. Not, you know, excited for everyone associated with Southern Miss. I'll put it that way. It's not just about the guys in our locker room or folks in our building. You know, it's about trying to make sure, you know, our people are proud of what we're doing. And I'm certainly excited about that. Charles has done a great job. You know, obviously when we hired him, we felt really strongly that he had a great plan. We had watched him work. I'd known him for a while, so I felt really good about it. We also know coaching hires aren't perfect, right? And so getting the hire right and trying to set someone up for success are two different things. And so we worked really hard to try to make sure he had what he needed, you know, in the spring and moving into the summer, and whether that meant nutrition, whether it meant you know, rev share, NIL opportunities, whatever that looked like, he was really good about saying, here are the things that I think are going to make a difference for us. And then sitting down with us and us talking about how we help that become reality. And so, you know, there's a lot of pieces to that puzzle, but we certainly are excited about where we're at right now. And our guys have done a fantastic job of not only winning ball games, but I think progressing as the season goes on, improving each week. And that's been fun to see, and certainly as exciting as we get ready for the next one.
Talking about athletic departments being run as businesses, Jeremy, if this football team continues to perform the way it has, are you prepared to potentially lose your head coach after 1 year?
Well, we don't think in those terms. Let's put it that way. I won't say we haven't thought about it. That would be not accurate. We don't spend a lot of time thinking about that. What I will tell you is that anytime you're successful, you certainly are going to have those questions come up, and those are going to be things you have to deal with. So, you know, I said when we hired Charles to, you know, internally, hey, if he's super successful and he's here for a year or two or three or whatever the case may be, then we're going to be happy for everybody,
right,
that we've had success. And so I'm not thinking about, you know, I'm thinking about this week and next week and what we need to do to help him continue to be successful. But certainly I understand with success comes some of those questions, and we'll deal with those as they come up.
Yeah, but isn't that a good problem to have? I mean, isn't that a much better problem to have than your team going 1-11?
Yeah. It certainly is, and like I said, we're I'd much rather be on this side of that, and that be the question as opposed to a different question.
A thousand percent.
Where your team is now, they are already bowl qualified, and the university has already put out feelers to fans about getting on, you know, a ticket waiting list. How has bowls and the money that teams make or don't make changed, Jeremy, in, say, 30 or 40 years? It used to be you go to a bowl game, you made a lot of money, and now...
I can't speak to... You know, I've been doing this 20 years, so we'll say in the last 20 years, I don't know that it's changed drastically. I don't, you know, there are more bowls now, so there's probably not quite as much money to go around. Let's start there. But the objective, quite honestly, is you do bring in some revenue, but it's an expensive venture, right? Going to a bowl game, traveling everyone, staying in a hotel for a full week, like that is an expensive trip. And so normally what we're trying to do, quite honestly, in almost all of the leagues across college football, with the exception of the top-tier bowls, is you're trying to break even. You're trying to just make sure that you can pay for your trip, and that's as honest as I can be about it. There's no great windfall that comes with making a bowl. They certainly are, like I said, very expensive trips. They're also very rewarding trips, and they're really important to your program. And so it is much less about, you know, turning a profit. It's much more about trying to make sure that you set your program up for success, and that is something that is really important, I think, to us every year, is to be in a position to be in a bowl game.
Okay, and Dima's got some questions in a minute. Before I let you go, and talking about profit and money, you know, what are we up to now? $169 million that other schools are paying coaches to not coach. Where does this end, Jeremy? And how will this affect the evolution of contracts and negotiations with coaches going forward? Because obviously this can't continue.
Yeah. I feel like we've said this can't continue for about a decade now. unfortunately, I that's the truth. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. I hope that there's some common sense approaches to some things, you know, and that can mean a lot of different things, but I just hope when people sit down across the table that everybody can feel good about when you negotiate a contract, the outcome of that, that everybody can feel good about that. Obviously, some of these contracts have put people in a very tough spot, and we're seeing the downside of that.
Jeremy, there was talk about a potential, you know, expansion of the college football playoffs and how that could help potentially a group of five teams where, you know, you'd get four from the Big Ten, four from the SEC as kind of your, you know, staple eight teams. Would you be in favor of a potential playoff expansion? Because I just think with the way the schedule of college football is now, where, you know, you're going to have coaching changes now, as far as if anybody decided to fire a coach, so you can get set up for that early national signing day in the beginning of December. But if any coach decides to leave in the beginning of December, you know, they have to get ready for early national signing day. But now the one window transfer portal that's in January,
right?
So the point is, what I'm trying to make is, like, bowls are becoming less and less important to the grand scheme of college football, where maybe this is the time we just, you know, expand the season and expand the playoffs. That way everybody can continue to play for something.
Yeah, I think bowls still serve a purpose, just like we talked about a few minutes ago. I still think it's a great opportunity for your program. It's an opportunity to build something. But your point's not wrong, Demon. I think what I would love to see is an expanded playoff that gives every conference champion the opportunity, right, the access. That's 10 spots. And then you can do with the other – 14, if you go to 24, whatever you want, at-larges, and you give them to whoever you want to. But the thing is, I think the access piece of that puzzle is a difference maker. It works so well in basketball. It works so well in baseball. I mean, you can kind of go down the list. This is one of the few championships that we don't have the access, right? And so I think it would be a game changer. I think it would create more interest. I think it would generate more revenue. I think if we could figure out how to get to that point, I think it would be a win-win for everyone. The challenge is right now there are a few conferences that carry a lot of weight and, quite frankly, have a lot of power right now. And so it's going to take people who want to make decisions for the greater good of the sport and not for their own backyard to make those things happen. And I'm just being as straightforward as I can be. I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm just saying it's going to take a shift in the thought process and where we are right now. I would love to see us go to 24 teams. There's some challenges in that, and we don't want to spend all our time on that today, but number of games you play during a season, right, what, you know, what that format looks like, all those things have to be taken into account. But I think if we could get there, I do think that would be a really, really huge step forward for the sport and trying to create something that can be sustainable.
All right, we're talking to Athletics Director Jeremy McLean on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Jeremy, I understand you can spend one more segment with us. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll have more with Jeremy on the other side of the break as we head into the break. Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun this time of the year. But the most important player on your team is you. Get an annual physical, exercise, eat good, be sure your health is as good as it can be. And Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. Hey, don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. We tell you every day, and thousands of you find us that way. We're grateful to you. It's on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, and everyone but my friend Kelly can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Any update on that situation?
As soon as they get like a male voice that might talk to me, but the females,
yeah,
forget it.
You said that Jeremy McLean never tells us no. He tells Kelly no.
There's good reason for that, Damon. Everybody tells Kelly no from time
to time. Yeah, I bet they do.
We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the show. I want to get right back to our time with Athletics Director Jeremy McLean. This segment sponsored by Eagle Tire West, and former Southern Miss baseball star Matt Warren invites you to see him for premium Goodyear products, full-service auto and truck services, all at Eagle Tire West, or next to Smith Motor Company. Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg, family-operated since 1985, and big Southern Miss supporters. Be sure to tell Matt the guys from the Super Talk Eagle Hour ask you to stop by. And go by Genesis of Hattiesburg. They're the official auto dealer of our program. Their sedans and SUVs, all from Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And Jeremy McLean, I bet you will confirm that Matt Grubbs, who actually owns Genesis of Hattiesburg, is a big ally of Southern Miss.
100%. Mac is great. Been supportive for a long time and a good friend.
All right, let's switch gears, Jeremy. Let's talk the next upcoming sport, basketball. I'll tell you, first of all, I just sense that a lot of people have said things to me about the excitement surrounding Missy Bilderback and the women's team. Let's start there. A lot of expectations. Ticket sales are good. This is looking like another 24-karat gold decision on your part, Jeremy.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of pieces to that puzzle. Certainly feel good about Missy leading our program. She's done a great job out of the gate. I think she's done a really good job of putting her staff together and getting the roster to a really good place. Maybe there's a lot of similarities there with football and Coach Huff, and the fact that she, you know, kept some of the roster in place. She brought some players, you know, that she had previous relationships with her, and then she went out and got in the portal and addressed some needs at some certain positions. And I think they did a really good job of putting together a roster in year one that can compete in the league. And that's not always easy to do. And so I'm really excited about that. I've had a chance to see him play in some scrimmages and was really excited about what I saw. And, you know, so I feel like the excitement you've shared that you're hearing from people is warranted. And I think it's going to be fun to watch. And you're right. We're closing in on a record number for season tickets for women's basketball. There's a lot of community support, obviously, with Missy and her family and connections here to this area. And so, yeah, it's going to be a fun season and certainly feel really good about her leading our program.
Yeah, Jeremy, on the other side, the men's side, you know, Jay bringing a whole new roster in. What do you expect from them and what do you want to see from the men's team?
Yeah, I think what you expect with that many new faces, a little bit of probably what we saw during our exhibition contest was you know, it was a lot of getting to know each other and playing together and some ups and downs. And that's a great that we do have the exhibition games to kind of work through some of that. So I think you're going to see, hey, how do we figure out how to get these guys? What's our rotation? How do we get them playing together quickly? You know, what fits where, if you will. And so I think for me, it's really about, you know, kind of seeing how quickly that comes together. Now we've got a really challenging non-conference schedule, and so you're gonna, you know, there're gonna be some things that you have to watch closely to see progress. It may not, you know, we may not go on the road and win all those contests, but how quickly are they progressing, and are we heading in the right direction to prepare for, you know, for December and January and February? So that's what I'm looking for. Obviously, again, a lot of new faces. I do think Jay and his staff brought in a really talented group. And it's just about trying to get them playing together and meshing well as quickly as you can.
One more question before Kelly asks you a baseball question. Has there been any update on that Louisiana Tech non-conference game scheduled for next fall?
No, not yet. I think they are working through when officially they're going to be able to join the league. And I think until we get that answer, there won't be anything to share.
Well, we owe them an ass whooping. So
wow, can you say that? Can you say that on the radio? Whoa.
We're on live radio.
Oh,
Kelly.
Sorry.
Where's our buzzer?
Sorry about that, Jim. I want to ask you a baseball question. Fans are saying that if they're season ticket holders, there's an assessment that's taking place on each season ticket toward player compensation or something along those lines.
Competitive excellence fee.
Yeah, a competitive excellence fee.
That's right.
Tell us, what is the truth about that, and what is it all about?
Yeah, so we had a long conversation in the off season about the best way to kind of go about doing this, quite honestly. The demand for season tickets is such that we truthfully probably could have just bumped the season ticket prices a little bit more, and nobody would have known the difference as far as where that money gets invested. But we really felt like we wanted our folks to be invested and understand what our challenges were and just be really kind of transparent and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is what it's going to take for us to be competitive. And so each ticket will have a competitive excellence fee associated with it. And it is a per ticket. I'm going to use the term nominal. It's still, look, I understand every dollar is important. But it's on average going to be about $20 to $25 per ticket. Obviously, do the math, and you begin to add those things up. And you know, at the end of the year, that's multiple scholarships for us to be able to reinvest into our program and remain competitive. And that was the message I think we just wanted to get across, was we are trying to do things to make sure that your baseball program remains one of the best in the country, and we need your help in this way. And so, you know, I talked at length to Coach Ostrander about it. Feel good about the way, again, the transparency and trying to just say to our folks, hey, here's the investment that we're asking you to make. And understand, again, every dollar is important. But we really felt like this was something we needed to do to make sure that we continue to be a top 25 program and compete at a national level.
Let me ask you, about 4 minutes left, probably what's one of the most irritating questions anybody's going to ask you today, and that is, can you update us on the status of the basketball renovations?
Yeah. We're as we've said for the past few months, that should see activity in January. So once we
get to the next calendar year, we'll see construction fence going up. We'll start on the south side of the building and where the practice facility is located, and that'll be kind of where we kick off the construction phase of that. So you'll see things happening on the south side of the building once the calendar turns in January, February, and we'll kind of push forward from there. It'll be about a 2-year project once we get going. And because obviously we have to play basketball in the building, and so we'll have to navigate some of those things. But, you know, it's still a $42 million project. That practice facility is a huge part of that. Obviously, we're going to have a new front on the building. We're going to try to improve amenities inside the building as well. And so that's full go, and it's just a matter of kind of getting to that point where they can start moving dirt around and moving in the right direction. But all of that is in a good spot, and we're moving forward.
And how happy will you be, Jeremy McLean, for people to ride down 4th Street and see construction taking place at the basketball arena?
Yeah, we'll be really happy. And, you know, it's kind of get that off the ground for a lot of different reasons, but not only because we've all waited a long time to get it going and see results, but also so we can, you know, get that going and really turn our focus to the next thing. And you know, there's a long list of things we want to do and feel like are important to us. And so that will be a big step for us in the grand scheme of things.
Jeremy, I wanted to ask you about two of the programs that don't get talked about a lot, but both golf programs have just been exceptional fall. Can you speak on both the men's and women's golf teams?
Yeah. Really, really excited about both of those programs and where we're headed. You know, Eddie Brescher's been leading our men's program for quite some time now. I'm going to probably get this wrong, but I would say probably 8 or 9 years Eddie's been leading our program. And then Colton Cowan came in last year, was his first year. And so really like what both of those coaches are doing with our men's and women's programs respectively. And then, of course, we opened our new golf facility, practice facility, last year, and you know, that's been something that has really benefited us, not only from a development standpoint. You talk about they have all the technology now that they need. They can hit during bad weather. They can just get extra work in, but also to have a home and to recruit to that facility, I think, has been really important to us. And so feel really good about where we're headed. We, you know, this fall, obviously the women won the Sun Belt Championship in spring. This fall, the men won 2 tournaments. The women also won 2 tournaments this fall and competed really well kind of across the board. So excited about what the spring holds for both of those groups. I think we'll have 2 teams that will be right in the thick of things. And you know, again, feel really good about where we're headed there.
Real quick, Jeremy, before we let you go, I know one of your plans was maybe to move the track and field program in closer to campus and things like that. Can you really quick talk about that? Is that still on the drawing board?
Yeah, that is more of a long-term vision, master planning, if you will. So we're not – I'd love to say, yeah, we're close to doing that. We're not as close to doing that as I'd like. And so that's more of a long-term plan goal for us. And
gotcha.
We may find out someday down the road that, hey, that's just not going to be – that's going to be cost prohibitive. And so we've got to pivot. But right now, that's still on the drawing board for us to try to figure out how to do that.
We always seem to run out of time, Jeremy. We thank you for coming on. We're going to ask you to come back on real soon, and we really appreciate your time.
Absolutely, guys. Appreciate
you.
All right. Jeremy McLean, Athletics Director at Southern Miss. He's never one time asked us, now, what are you going to ask me?
Yeah.
Never one time.
I mean, I thought Kelly threw him a pretty tough question, like the first question about what are you going to do if the coach is gone? I mean, that was pretty blunt.
Well, I like the fact that he said, look, you'd be foolish to say we haven't been talking about it privately, because it's just life. That's business.
All right, Glenn Dyer next. Stay with us.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, DBAT sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, managed by former All-American Luke Reynolds. Great place to take your kids for baseball, softball training. Great place for you to go if you're a fit athlete like my friend Kelly there. You work out how many days a week there, Kelly? 3 or 4?
Work out like how?
You know, running the 40s and...
Walking the 40s. Walking
not
the
your
40s.
Golf joke.
No,
don't tell the golf joke, Kelly.
I won't.
Please don't tell the golf joke. Hey, if you got a home repair, home remodel, or home construction, you'll find everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden. MCS Home Center in Bellevue. MCS is Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. It's gorgeous. Local people eager to serve you. Just stocked to the absolute brim with everything you need. 7329 Highway 98 West.
And they've got a big holiday open house coming up, too. I think maybe it might be the 1st of November, but you can look up their Facebook page and find out they're going to have all kinds of Christmas decorations. And
they didn't invite us to come?
No, everybody's always invited. You know, it's okay. A great family environment at MCS.
Absolutely, of course. And we just thank the world of Hank Lott and his family and everybody out there. As we do, Glenn Dyer. And we're so happy to have him now contributing to the Eagle Hour. He covers Southern Miss sports. Him and my man Dima here. I see him on YouTube after games. Glenn and I had a great conversation through much of the game first half out on the photo deck. I don't know about you, Glenn, but I got kind of damp. And when I went back inside Jack's 35-degree press box, I got pretty daggum cold.
Yeah, I was starting to get icicles.
Man, Jack keeps it.
It was really cold in that press box.
Like a deep freezer, man.
It was cold.
But the food was good.
Food was good.
Yeah,
food
fantastic. Good.
Yeah. All right, Glenn, give us your eval. Bowl eligible now. Week off. This a good or bad time to take a week off?
I mean, it can go either way. But for me, my thought is this is such a good staff that each week when they break down that film, they find things they're good at, things they don't really like, and they tweak. And each week you seem to get a better product. You know, that's just the true measure of coaching to me is they just, you know, they dial it in a little better each week. So, I'm glad they have the week off to kind of dial some things in.
You know, you and I were out there together watching the opening of the game, and Monroe drives all the way down the field and scores. And you made a great point. You said, oh, that's the first time that the defense has seen them. And so every trick they've got in the book, paraphrasing, they're going to use on that first drive. But Glenn, after that, the defense shut the door.
Yeah, I agree. Coach Seymour saw the new tricks, gets them on the sidelines, you know, makes corrections where they need to be made, and after that it's generally smooth sailing.
I don't know if you guys happened to see the Sun Belt game the other night where James Madison went to
Texas State.
Yeah, Texas State. And it was close there in the first half, but James Madison, like it has done all season long, just steamrolled him in the second half. And, Glenn, I wanted to get your view, Troy aside. I happen to think, and maybe I see some of it with my heart rather than my eyes, but there's no doubt in my mind that the cream of the East is James Madison. And, you guys, I think Southern Miss is the cream of the West.
Yeah, I agree with that. And James Madison's so impressive, like Southern Miss. Teams will be hanging with them, and then that team will make a mistake, and they always capitalize, and they bury opponents, kind of like USM did when they started getting those turnovers last week versus ULM. Once those guys made those turnovers, fumble that punt, it was, you know, and then the route was on.
You know, the last segment, we'll talk about conference standings, but Glenn, when you look at, you know, across the Sun Belt, I mean, it really feels like James Madison, Southern Miss, are on a collision course. I mean, both teams seem to mirror each other in that, like Kelly's saying, you know, they'll kind of keep it close in the beginning of games, and then second half, I mean, talent, you know, scheme, whatever you want to call it, just wins the day, and I don't see that changing over the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, I agree, and in games you see them win much the same way, but at this point it's almost like they're just a little bit better in those areas right now. I'm not Southern Miss has time to get there, but their run defense is excellent. Just they can be dominant on defense when they want to be. You can see them come out the second half once they've got things dialed in and they completely shut teams down.
You know, I want to see James Madison versus Southern Miss because I want to see their defense versus Braylon and that offense. I want to see Southern Miss's defense against, you know, JMU's offense in that run game. But obviously, Glenn, they got to win to get there. They got to beat Arkansas State. They got to beat Troy. I think they're very, very capable of doing that at this point.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, on the same note, JMU has to play Marshall as well, so that'll be interesting. You know, I don't relish a trip to Harrisonburg, Virginia, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, so there is a possibility that this could end up at the end of it being a Marshall Southern Miss.
That would just be so awesome.
That
it would be hard
the football
to
gods.
Yeah, yes, but yes. You know, and if I'm not mistaken, you guys, this week, and we'll make our game picks later in the week, but I think Marshall goes to Coastal
this weekend.
Yeah.
And look, if Marshall's overlooking Coastal, and Coastal, everybody overlooked at the beginning of the year, but there's a team now that has gotten red hot, and I think they've won four in a row. So Marshall may have their
hands.
They
play at Coastal tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
It's a Thursday night game.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's one that we really all need to watch, because Coastal, you overlook Coastal, man, you're going to get your tail beat, and you can't afford at this time of year.
Barring something unexpected, Glenn, and there's still a lot of ball to play, I get that, but it does appear that this game, the last game of the year here at The Rock, may very well decide who goes to the championship game. That's really kind of hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's exciting. I mean, each game, you know, it's been a while since I've looked forward to, you know, after each game, you know, they just get bigger and bigger. The points get bigger and bigger. You know, they're playing for something bigger every week. It's been a while since we got excited like that.
Playing meaningful football in November.
And it actually, Troy and Southern Miss have a little bit of wiggle room in the sense that, let's say either one of them stubs their toe, that one of them goes into that final game with one loss. Well, and then the team with the one loss winds up winning that game, and they both finish.
That's a good point.
Your first tiebreaker is head-to-head.
Yes. So I was going to talk about this in the last segment about tiebreaker scenarios. I published a story on it today. So Troy plays Arkansas State this week, and then Arkansas State plays Southern Miss next week. So the next 2 weeks for the Sun Belt West is huge. Southern Miss fans should be rooting very hard for Arkansas State to beat Troy this week. The reason being is if Southern Miss beats Arkansas State, they would then be a game ahead of Troy, and Troy still has a road game at Old Dominion. So theoretically, if they were to lose that game, Southern Miss could win the West on the road at South Alabama.
Glenn, how will they determine where the championship game will be?
Well, Dima and I were talking about the other day, and he may be obviously wins and losses, but Dima, didn't you say it was strength of wins within the conference?
Right. So it's strength of records within the conference is kind of the second tiebreaker, which is why I think JMU would get the nod, just because the East is just better than the West. You know, they're playing the Marshalls, who's 3-1s, the Coastals, who's 3-1s. Southern Miss, you know, just played ULM, who's 1-4 in the conference. They're going to play Texas State, who's 0-4 in the conference. That's just how they're going to decide it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, but how exciting would it be for Marshall to come here and play in the conference championship?
I personally think it would be more exciting for Southern Miss to go to Marshall.
Well, remember,
even funny.
Remember that Charles Huff and Marshall won last year's championship on the road.
Right.
At Louisiana. So it's not anything that he talked about how important it is for players to have been there before when they were talking about Georgia Southern. Well, obviously we're putting the cart ahead of the horse, but these are a bunch of guys who have already played a championship game on the road.
Hey, Glenn, real quick, got a couple minutes left. We were at the Pete yesterday. Kelly and I did the whole show out there. We appreciate that invite, and had a really good time. Dima comes in. He was at the baseball game last night, the last of the fall series, and he's kind of wide-eyed about some of these young pitchers that nobody really knows who they are, but he said they just looked electric last night. Your observation of the baseball team you saw in fall ball now that it's officially over.
Yeah, I mean, Dima's right. That staff, I mean, there may not be a JB dominant, you know, guy on that staff, but they're going to have, you know, 4 to 6 more arms available and multiple left-handers to match up throughout the season. The hard part for Oz is, I mean, he's not going to have just 7 guys and he throws them out there over the course of a week. He's going to have legitimately, you know, 8 to 12 guys each week that who's going to be his bridge piece. Who's going to be, you know, his closer, who can go long, you know, in middle relief. It's going to be interesting. And he still has needs to figure out who his closer is going to be. Everything else is kind of setting up.
Who would you guess, if you were just guessing right now, and obviously Oz hasn't told any of us this, your weekend rotation as today would be what?
After last night, and the big story to me was McCarty English's last 2 starts. He's been fantastic. So when he was in that mix for that Sunday consideration. Last night he was 94-95 with his fastball, had his secondary stuff. Retired all 9 guys he faced. I mean, to me, if I penciled in a lineup, you know, he would be my Sunday guy, Colby, Graydon, and then McCarty.
If you would have asked me the same question, I would have said them 3 as well.
Sounds pretty. Well, that's a great story about him,
yes.
McCarty.
Oh, man, if he could get a
kid that just struggled so terribly last year. And you know that. You know the kid was miserable. But you guys say that problem seems to have been resolved, Glenn.
Well, he's found his command. You know, he's had his fastball, and he didn't command it great, but he commanded that, and then he's commanding a cutter and a slider with it. So, you know, if he's got two or three pitches and he can command it, he's fine. And his arm's fine. He's throwing 94, 95 with no problem.
Can we say hosting a regional? Is it too early to say that?
Probably.
Okay, 3.5 months before the first game, and now he's talking regionals in June, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what we do at Southern Miss.
That's exactly. Hey, my friend, always great having you on our show. Thank you, Glenn.
I enjoyed it, guys. Have a good day.
All right, Glenn Dyer, everybody. The great Glenn Dyer. Does a great job covering Southern Miss sport. All right, when we come back, we'll have news and notes as we head out. Mobe Beignet Company invites you to come down for a delicious beignet, 2902 Hardy Street. Check out their Facebook page. There's nothing really much better than Mobe Beignet. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, you know what? A guy's just so beat down. You're giving him the, you know, the you
business,
know what,
huh?
The business, and he's just so beat down. He just doesn't even respond. That's the way Kelly is now about the Cincinnati Bengals. Dima and I tried to harass him a little bit during the break, and he's just a man beaten down after the New York Jets.
I told my son in the third quarter, I said, he was all excited. I said, son, first of all, it's the Jets. I said, second of all, the game isn't over. I said, we will create a way to lose this game. And that's exactly what happened. So this is anything I'm not used to.
You know, the Saints announced that Tyler Shough or Shuck or however you say his name is going to start for the Saints this week. I'm going to look at who they're playing. Maybe he'll have a good chance. At the Rams. And I'm like, why would you pick that game?
No, he doesn't have any chance. I got to tell you my Jet story real quickly. Last year, the Redskins were still playing. My daughter and wife and I, we would all go once a year to a Redskin game. So I asked my daughter on the phone at the start of the season, let's go down the schedule and let's pick a weekend so we can plan it out. And I said, look, Amber, they're playing the Patriots. We could see Tom Brady and Gronk. Dad, I'm not spending all that money and all that time to watch Tom Brady throw touchdown passes up and down the field. We play the Jets. We'll beat them. Let's go to that game.
And they lost?
38-7.
Oh!
So you share my pain.
I've been sharing your pain for years. Hell, yeah. I'm a Redskin and Golden Eagle fan. You don't think I've had some painful times?
Indeed.
All right, Demon, news and notes.
Well, for news and notes, I was just going to go through the standings for the Sun Belt because I just think it's interesting. So James Madison on the East, 5-0. The teams behind them, 3-1, 2-1, Marshall, Coastal Carolina, who play tomorrow night in a huge game for the East. I mean, whoever wins that game, let's just say hypothetically Coastal Carolina wins that out. This is their remaining schedule. Georgia State at home, probably a win.
Right.
Georgia Southern on the road, not a given, but Georgia Southern struggling. South Carolina, you know, that's not even a Sun Belt game. Then they host James Madison on the last weekend of the season. So if Coastal beats Marshall tomorrow night, they could very well be in the same situation that Southern Miss and Troy are in, where the last weekend of the regular season decides the East.
And how great would that be for the league?
Yeah, I'd have two big games.
Your last Saturday game.
Before. And that's another school that was projected to be nothing. They were expected to be one of the doormats in the East.
Now, on the same token, if Marshall wins, they then host James Madison the next week. To potentially get, you know, in line to win the East, they would play Georgia State and App State and Georgia Southern to finish the year. So, winnable games. On the other side, the West is now just a three-team race with Texas State losing. There's not another team mathematically who can win the West other than Southern Miss, Troy, and Arkansas State. Hmm. So if Arkansas State, who plays Troy this week, if they beat Troy on Saturday, then subsequently loses to Southern Miss the next week, Southern Miss would be the overwhelming favorite to win the West. If they were to beat Arkansas State next week, and Arkansas State would have beaten Troy because Troy plays on the road at Old Dominion the next week, which is not an, that would not be easy for Troy at all. So right now, I mean, you'd have to think that Southern Miss is by far in the best position to win the West. And there is a potentiality, if all this goes the way that Charles Huff and, you know, Southern Miss fans want, that Southern Miss could lock up the West even before the Troy game, which would be the November 22nd against South Alabama.
So I thought you brought up a great question to Jeremy. And again, Jeremy McClain never one time has ever said to us, now what are you guys going to ask me? He's just, you ask me whatever you like. And you did ask that about Coach Huff. And I mean, you know, everybody's thinking about that a little bit. He's doing a remarkable job, and there are a lot of openings right now at some big schools. How concerned are you guys about that possibility, Damon?
Well, I mean, I think anybody would be very concerned, especially considering what they could potentially achieve with this with the rest of the schedule. And there's also another thing that the element here that Charles Huff has that a lot of other coaches don't have: experience as a head coach. And, you know, teams like Penn State, LSU, like, are they going to go after? I'm not saying that Huff is going to one of those schools. I'm just saying that are they going to go after? Like, those are teams that have to sell the in the press conference that we're making the right decision. I don't know how many of them are going to take a chance on a first-year head coach, right? Now, teams like Arkansas, Virginia Tech, teams like that, yeah, they could maybe take a chance, but Charles Huff just seems so much better because he's a proven head coach. He's proven he can win. He's proven he can recruit. Not only that, but now he's proven he can literally turn a program around from being in the dumps and using the transfer portal in that. He has all of the cards on his resume to get a great job.
I'll take it a step further than that. He is potentially on the brink of doing something that, as far as we know in the modern era of football, has never been done.
Yeah.
Won two consecutive league championships with different teams.
It's yeah. unbelievable.
Now, if that doesn't catapult it, and look, this is business.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm looking at that, I'm going, holy cow, this guy's not just a coach.
I mean, I would hire him.
This is a very unique individual with a set of skills that not a lot of other people have, if any. So you have, that is a legitimate question that every, and again, a lot of Southern Miss fans, we only had him 1 year. But if they leave the program in a better shape, than right. better position than it was in, then nope. God bless him.
Now, let me say, we don't have any indication he's
no.
leaving. We don't want him to leave.
Correct.
But Dima makes a great point. How would you not want to hire this guy to coach your football program?
He's definitely getting calls. There's no question about it. I mean, there's definitely no question he's going to get calls.
Interesting.
It's business.
It's business. It is. All right. Speaking of business, we'll be back on the air tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We hope you'll join us. Thanks for listening, everybody. Southern Miss.
To the top. Slipping into the future.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Supertalk Mississippi Media Production.